The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing good out there. Wow, we needed a hero to get to the office today. You folks in Louisiana. You folks down in Cajun country listening to us on KROF, you know what a Piro is, but we needed a rowboat to get to the office. We're getting a lot of rain here in this part of the country. Our bunker here in Memphis, Tennessee. Hope you're doing good. Now, we got a lot going on today, but we just got some exciting news. And and Grace Baker, I'm not sure what the rules and regulations are regarding personal privilege, but we need to toot our own horn for just a moment.
Well,
are we allowed to do that?
You can do whatever you want. You're the boss.
This is true. I am the boss. But, you know, you want to be fair about these things.
That's true.
So we just got word a few moments ago that the industry standard in the radio industry, the top radio publication, is called Talkers Magazine.
Oh, everybody's talking about it.
Everybody talks about it. Talkers Magazine, talkers.com. Our good friend Michael Harrison has been on this show a time or two in the past, and one of the legends in the talk radio business. And so every year they release the Talkers Magazine Heavy 100. And that has nothing to do with weight, but it has everything to do with the
level.
Size and skill level. Thank you. The size of your audience and the impact you're making in America. And they do this for all the talk radio hosts. It doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative or whatnot. And last year, I think we were number 80 something on the list.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And this year we moved up 40 spots.
Whoa.
So we are number 44 on the all time list. And it is a great honor. And it's really because of you guys, the great listeners of this radio program, as we continue to grow and get larger and larger and larger. And also thanks to our great team here. We have JP, our show booker. Kyle, our audio engineer, Grace, who is our lovely call screener, and, of course, Avery, who handles all the web work.
Does this mean we get raises?
No, it does not. But you okay. know what? It's a feather in our cap, Avery. That's how we should look at this, a feather in
symbolic.
Our cap. Thank you. It is symbolic. So anyway, we want to say thank you because that means you're a part of an awesome radio program, and you make it that way. We're one of the few talk radio shows, national talk radio shows, that actually talks to people.
Interactive.
And we are interactive. We take your calls, and we love hearing from you. So all that to say, thank you. We're gonna do even better this coming year as we enter year five of the Todd Starnes radio program.
Half a decade.
Thank you, Grace. A half a decade. It makes us feel old.
Well, I haven't been on the show for half a decade.
We'll have to have a party. So we'll do something to commemorate the big event. So anyway, guys, we're going to do our best to earn this ranking again. And who knows where we're going to be next year at this time. But I just want to say thank you because we have a great audience and a great staff.
That too.
Some of the best.
Absolutely.
Unbiased, yes.
There you go. All right, folks, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let me give you the telephone number if you do plan on calling in today, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. The live show blog up and running over at toddstarnes.com. Now, yesterday evening, a major story broke from the Daily Mail. And this is a story that should be garnering and generating wall-to-wall news coverage. But I think we all knew that this would not happen. No, it's not the cicada story. All right, just an aside. Joe Biden heading over to across the big pond, and he got attacked by cicadas as he was boarding Air Force One, and they had to delay Air Force One by 7 hours. Yeah, no, we do not know the condition of the bug. No, we don't. But Biden was attacked, and the bug, we don't know the condition of the bug. But that's not the big story we're talking about today. The big story has to do with Hunter Biden and some pretty horrible, offensive, racist text messages that were obtained by the Daily Mail. And I have to tell you, my hat is off to the Daily Mail. Now, these text messages were between Hunter Biden and his white attorney. And in these text messages, Hunter Biden used the N-word not once, not twice, not three times a lady. He used it multiple times. And it is not generating any attention today. It's as if the story never happened. The mainstream media is completely ignoring the fact that Hunter Biden is a racist dirtbag. Now, I just want you to sit back and think about this for a moment. Imagine, if you will, that this had been Eric Trump or Barron Trump or Don Jr. and their text messages had been leaked and they had been caught using racially charged language. What do you think the news coverage would look like today? It would have been insane. You would have had people literally marching on the White House trying to burn it down. By the way, where's Black Lives Matter here? Seriously. They're complaining about racism in America? Well, guess what? The racist is right in the White House. How many years did they try and find the so-called secret tape? Oh, we've got a secret tape. That's what Omarosa said. We got a secret tape. Donald Trump, he used the N-word all the time. Every other word was N-word that. But they never could find those tapes because those tapes did not exist. And I contend because Donald Trump did not use that language. Matter of fact, Donald Trump has years and decades of working alongside and supporting Black Americans, whether they be employees in his company, whether they be athletes on the USFL team back in the day. What was it, the New Jersey Generals with Herschel Walker? Remember those days? What about professional boxing? Don King, very good friends. But Joe Biden, it's interesting. When you sit back and when you look at Joe Biden's history, you realize, wait a second, this guy doesn't pal around with hardly any blacks. What's up with that? And then when you look at Joe Biden's track record, you wonder, wait a second, what's up with Joe Biden? I mean, even for a Democrat, this guy sounds incredibly racist. So we're going to play some audio for you. Our team worked through, they worked hours compiling this information, and they went back all the way to the 1970s to determine whether or not Joe Biden was, in fact, a racist. Now, we've got a poll up on our Twitter feed over at toddstearns.com, and we want to know, where do you think Hunter Biden learned this sort of language? Because when you look at these text messages, and again, we have all of this at toddstearns.com for you to see for yourself, it's very clear to me this is some sort of a learned behavior. So the question is, where did Hunter Biden learn this sort of behavior? Where did he learn to be a racist? Where did he learn to love Parmesan cheese? I contend that I contend it was from his father. But we have a poll up, and we ask you, where did Hunter Biden learn how to be a racist? Was it from his father? Was it from Uncle Robert, KKK Bird, who is a very close family friend? Or was it simply from listening to various and sundry rap and hip-hop artists? And right now, over 81% of you, we've had well over 1,000 people already vote. Well over a majority of you, overwhelming majority, say, hey, this came from Daddy. This came from Daddy Joey. Creepy Joe. That's where this came from. So look, there's another Joe involved in this, Judge Joe Brown, who's actually from Memphis, Tennessee, by the way. And he was on InfoWars with Alex Jones yesterday. And here's what Judge Joe Brown had to say about Joe Biden.
The overriding question today is what to do with the Negro. And he got into calling something a lot worse about young black children than what's in that 1977 article 5 years later. He said young Negro children are like roaches, and if you ever let them integrate into a school, they'll infest them and they'll never get them out. And in that jungle thing, when I heard him, he had it slightly changed around. He said, Negroes are animals, and they turn our streets into jungles. And if elected, I promise to do everything I can to put them in zoos to make the streets safe.
That's Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen. That to me, sounds like a racist. But it goes far beyond that. We have even more audio. And we're going to get to this coming up after the break. But we have audio of Joe Biden saying racist things. I mean, it's just unbelievable the things that he's allowed to get away with. And yet the mainstream media completely ignores this. You've got a white guy out there dropping the N-word all over the place. They just had to fire a New York Times reporter because he wrote about that word in the context of a story. You have authors, famous American authors that have been canceled. We're talking about Mark Twain, canceled for using that language, racially charged language, in books. And yet Hunter Biden, because he is a Democrat, gets away with it. The same thing happened to the governor of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. The man dressed up in blackface. The man pretended he was Michael Jackson. The man wore a Klan uniform. But that's okay because he's a Democrat. So clearly the message is, if you are a Democrat and you are white, it's okay to use the N-word. It is okay to dress up like a Klansman and burn crosses in people's front yards. If you're a white Democrat, that's okay, according to the mainstream media. Got to take a break here. Where do you think Biden learned this behavior? Was this something that Daddy Joey taught him? 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is the website. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. ToddStearns.com, our website. And if you have not done so, sign up for our free newsletter. Subscribe to the podcast. Will not cost you a penny. And I promise you, it's a great way to stay informed with what's happening all over America. So look, we have compiled for you a treasure trove of Joe Biden's racist rantings over the years. And I want you to take a listen to this.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids. Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
I've had a great relationship. In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. It's a fully, I'm not joking.
Wow.
I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump.
Reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. Look, agree?
I did not oppose busing in America. What I opposed is busing ordered by the Department of Education. That's what I opposed.
Well,
I
there
did
was
not
a failure of states to integrate public schools in America. I was part of the second class to integrate Berkeley, California public schools almost two decades after Brown v. Board of Education.
Because your city council made that decision.
The data shows young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding given the chance as white entrepreneurs are. But they don't have lawyers. They don't have they don't have accountants, but they have great ideas. Does anyone doubt this whole nation would be better off from the investments those people make? And I promise you, that's why I set up this National Small Business Administration that's much broader, because they're going to get those loans.
All right. That is just a small sampling of some of the horrible things that Joe Biden has uttered. If this had been any Republican, George W. Bush, Jeb Bush, it could have been. It doesn't matter who it is. If a Republican had said this, they would have been destroyed. Their life would have been over. They would have had to have left the country. But because Joe Biden is a white Democrat, he gets away with it. And it's not so much that there's a double standard. The problem is the Democrats have a hard time confronting evil in their own party. So let me give you another example of this. So not only is the leader of the Democrat Party an avowed racist, who, by the way, hung out with, partied with, and was close to avowed racist and Klan members, but then you have people like AOC and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, who are avowed anti-Semites. I'm telling you, folks, this Democrat Party, they're evil, downright evil. That's what we're talking about here. They only care about power. And that's why even Barack Hussein Obama himself did not do anything to help the black man or the brown man while he was in office. And there's a reason for that. Because if you give an American a job, if you give an American a school, a good school to educate their kids in, you know what's going to happen? They're not going to need the government. They're going to be able to go out there and claim the American dream on their own. They're going to have a job. They're going to get a paycheck. You're going to have self-respect. You're not going to be reliant upon the government for anything. But you see, the Democrats, they want you to be reliant. They want you to have a hand out, not a leg up, but a hand out. Because they know if you are reliant upon the Democrats for a monthly paycheck or health care or education or a place to live, they have you. They own you. So in a way, you could say that the Democrat Party is really a modern day slave plantation. And that's why you hear people like Diamond and Silk and other black Americans saying that they fled the black plantation. That's what they're talking about. They fled the bondage. They fled the captivity so they could be free. T.D. Jakes, a pastor. Many of you know T.D. Jakes. And we'll get into this a little bit later on. But he was out there bashing white people the other day in an interview with the Atlantic magazine. And the reporter asked a question. Well, why do you think that if Trump hated black people so much, why did so many blacks vote for Trump? And the guy said, I can't answer that. Well, I can. It's because Donald Trump didn't look at the color of their skin. It didn't matter to Donald Trump. He looked and he saw not color. He saw countrymen. And Donald Trump did what Barack Obama and the Democrats refused to do. Deliver on campaign promises to the African-American community. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again. Mike Lindell, introducing his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these incredible slippers designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Your feet will sleep. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you're going to want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Set. Or just call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Promo code STARNS. You know, these rainy days, perfect days to wear my slippers. Our good friend Mike Lindell, he is so good to this program and our great listeners. I can't tell you how many of you have purchased pillows over this past year. Just, again, to show your support for not only a great product, but for a great man and a great American company. This man is under attack by the cancel culture mob. And right now, the only place you can definitely get MyPillow products is at MyPillow.com. And if you use my promo code STARNS, you're going to get some pretty awesome discounts, including on the all-new My Slippers, made with that incredible MyPillow foam and the impact gel. That really does help prevent fatigue. I love those things. And now, thanks to our good buddy Mike, he's giving all of us 40% off my slippers. And they are a perfect gift for Father's Day. Maybe you want to get them for the whole family. I mean, with 40% off, you're going to be able to afford to get everybody a pair of these. So comfortable, you're going to want to wear them all the time. So here's what I want you to do. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on other products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, the towel sets, and those incredibly comfortable Giza Dream bed sheets. Unbelievable. MyPillow.com, code, promo code, STARNS, MyPillow.com. Interesting story out of New Jersey. Yesterday, a teacher at a prep school sent her boss a resignation letter. This is the Dwight Englewood School, a very, very prominent prep school in New Jersey. And this teacher, who has been on the job for a number of years, finally decided, you know what, it's not worth it anymore. I'm calling it quits. And I want you to hear just a bit of why this teacher decided to call it a day.
Today I am resigning from a job that I love. My name is Dana Stangle Plow. I became an English teacher at Dwight Englewood School 7 years ago because as a parent, I loved how the school both nurtured and challenged my own children. But over the past few years, the school has embraced an ideology that is damaging to our students' intellectual and emotional growth, an ideology that requires students to see themselves not as individuals, but as representatives of either an oppressor or oppressed group. This theoretical framework pervades every division of Dwight Englewood as the singular way of seeing the world. As a result, students now arrive in my classroom accepting ideology simply as fact, I've seen up close how this hinders their ability to read, write, and think. They've become obsessed with power hierarchies. I teach students who recoil from a poem because it was written by a man.
She goes on. And you know what we're going to do, guys? I want to play this full thing a little bit later on. It's a long resignation letter, but you need to hear this because she's speaking about critical race theory and what it's doing inside the classroom to white children. Now, I want to be very clear about something here. This is an attack on white children. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen, and you're going to hear other conservative talk radio hosts sort of dancing around this issue here. And they're going to be talking in general terms. Even Vice President Mike Pence, a couple of weeks ago, he addressed this, but he did not say what critical race theory truly was. He said, remember what he said. He said this was about teaching people to hate themselves because of the color of their skin. No, that's not what it is. This is about teaching white children to hate themselves because of the color of their skin. And if we do not, as conservatives, have the courage to speak the truth, we're going to lose the battle. And we cannot afford to do that. So here on this program, we call it like it is. That may be an inconvenient truth for you. That may be a politically incorrect truth for you. But by golly, it is the truth. They're coming after your white kids. Now, I'm very curious. I want to speak to the minority communities that listen to and watch this radio program. And I'm curious to know, from your vantage point, do you support critical race theory? Do you consider yourself to be a victim in America? And I would love to hear from you and to get your perspective, because I can tell you from the white perspective, the idea that I, Todd Starnes, have to apologize because of something my ancestors did 150 or 200 years ago makes absolutely no sense. Because I'm going to tell you right here and now, Starnes family, we were not plantation owners. As a matter of fact, my family came from sharecroppers. One of my great-great-great-great-grandfathers was an itinerant Methodist minister, and on the side, he ran moonshine. I'm not sure how good his preaching was, but I hear the communion services were pretty awesome. But I'm not understanding why we should apologize for something that happened in the past simply because of the color of our skin. Let me ask you a question. I'll just throw this out there. Let's just say that somebody gets murdered and the person who committed the crime is a black guy. All right, let's just hypothetically say a black guy goes out there and shoots somebody and they die. Now, who is responsible for that murder? Is it the black guy or is it the black guy's family? All right, let's just say this happened yesterday. What about 20 years from now? Is the family of that black guy who killed that other person, are they responsible for apologizing and repenting for the sin of their relative in the past? And if not, then why? I mean, because that's what critical race theory is. You as a white person are responsible for every egregious thing that ever happened to a minority on American soil. Now, I respect this teacher here. She is, and clearly, this is a liberal area of the nation, and it took a lot of guts to come out here and explain why she was leaving the classroom. I want to read some of this to you. The school's ideology requires students to see themselves not as individuals, but as representatives of a group, forcing them to adopt the status of privilege or victimhood. In other words, if you're white, you have privilege. If you are not white, you are a victim. I got to say, if I was a minority, I would be offended by that. This notion that I'm somehow a victim. Every single person in the United States of America has a chance to claim their American dream. You work hard, you go to school, you wait and have sex until after you get married, and then you start having babies. you're going to be successful in whatever you want to do in your life and in your career field. It's a pretty simple path to living the American dream. Working hard, getting a good education, getting married, then having a family. You do that, there's a pretty good chance you're going to live your dream in America. But if you don't, well, all bets are off. I will say this, most of the people out there complaining about this, when you look at the BLM marches, when they're burning down the cities and pillaging and plundering and looting and shooting people, by and large, most of those people are either white privileged individuals who actually come from privilege, they come from wealth, or you have upper middle class people out there burning down things. I don't see a lot of oppressed people out there marching in these protests. But that's just me. So, look, we're going to take a break here. I want to come back. We're going to play some more of this this teacher's resignation letter. And I will say this. If you have a kid, you need to get that kid out of that public school right away. Get the kid either homeschooled or into a private Christian school. But I don't think you can trust these schools to do the right thing. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Ideology simply as fact. I've seen up close how this hinders their ability to read, write, and think. They've become obsessed with power hierarchies. I teach students who recoil from a poem because it was written by a man. I teach students who approach texts in search of the oppressor, who see iniquities in texts that have nothing to do with power. This ideology limits students' ability to observe and engage with the full fabric of human experience in our literature. In my professional opinion as an educator, the school is failing to encourage healthy habits of mind, essential for growth, such as intellectual curiosity, humility, honesty, reason, and the capacity to consider multiple perspectives and weigh competing ideas. In our school, the opportunity even to hear competing ideas is practically non-existent. Sadly, as a result, the school is leading many to become true believers and outspoken purveyors of a regressive and illiberal orthodoxy. Our young students have no idea that the school has placed ideological blinders on them. Of course, not all students are true believers. Many pretend to agree because of pressure to conform. I've heard from students who want to ask a question, but stop out of fear. I've heard from students who don't participate in discussions for fear of being ostracized. One student didn't want to develop her personal essay about an experience she had in another country because she was worried that it might mean she was, without even realizing it, racist. In her fear, she actually stopped herself from thinking, the very definition of self-censorship. I care deeply about our students and our school. And so over the years, I have tried to introduce positive alternative views to our community. My efforts have fallen on deaf ears. The reality is that fear and orthodoxy pervade the faculty. Last fall, administrators told us we were not allowed to question the school's ideological programming. And on at least two separate occasions, our head of school even went so far as to tell the entire faculty that he would fire all of us if he could, so that he could replace us all with people of color. This February, during a faculty meeting, teachers were segregated by skin color. White teachers were placed into a white caucus group, asked to remember that we are white and to take responsibility for our power and privilege. I reject this essentialist, racialist thinking about myself and my colleagues, and I worry for the students. Will racial segregation be forced on them next? I am fully aligned with the values in Dwight Englewood's mission statement: community, diversity, courage, and making the world a better place. As an educator, I strive to create an inclusive classroom by embracing the dignity and individuality of each and every student, regardless of their cultural or group identifiers. My humanist approach cultivates a mutual respect and empathy, curiosity, and open-mindedness. I want to empower all students with the skills and habits of mind they need to fulfill their potential as learners and human beings. Unfortunately, the school's orthodoxy undermines my humanist approach to teaching and creates deep divisions among our diverse population, destroying any chance at a true and unified learning community. Dwight Englewood used to claim that we teach students how to think, not what to think. But sadly, that is just no longer true.
All right, there you have it. The rest of the letter written by Dana Stengel Plow, who is now a former English teacher at Dwight Englewood School, a top prep school, where they're teaching the children to be ashamed of the color of their skin. They're teaching the white children to be ashamed of the color of their skin. You realize that what they're doing here, they're laying the foundations for a future race war in America. You just think about that for a moment. What is it going to look like in this country if you have, for 18 years, you have white children being taught they should be ashamed of who they are? That is a lie from the pit of hell. And shame on any school teacher, shame on any lawmaker, shame on any pastor who is preaching and spewing critical race theory. That's evil. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Amber on the line. Hi, Amber. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Mr. Starnes. I just want to let you know I am a mother of an interracial 8-year-old in a relationship that is obviously mixed. Your program touches every part of my life, from race to religion to politics, things that are important to us, and I have made it a point to go on your website and download your link to my desktop so that I can listen to your program every day, because it is an encouragement to us. It is informative. I get information from you that I don't get anywhere else, just like the story you're talking about now. And, you know, I want to thank you, and we want you back on KARN as quickly as we can. But in the meantime, we love your website. I even went there. I liked the program so much, I went earlier and listened to Grace on her program this morning. And so we just want to thank y'all for everything you're doing, and you are a blessing to us.
Amber, you just made my day with those kind words. Thank you. And we do miss our friends at KARN. Unfortunately, a lot of radio stations that are owned by the big corporations, they're forcing those radio stations to carry another radio program. And, you know, we understand that. That's their decision. We disagree with it. But the reality is, in Arkansas, we were the number one rated talk radio show noon to three. And we miss all of you guys, Amber. And we're hoping a few more of you folks to find us online. And Amber, I want to do something for you. I've got a brand new book coming out in just a couple of weeks called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And Amber, I'm going to send you an autographed copy of that brand new book. Is that all right for me to do?
That is awesome. You just made my day.
Well, all right. Well, good. This is wonderful. We're going to put you on hold, and Grace is going to pick up the phone, and she'll get all of your details. So hang tight. Don't go anywhere. And we sincerely mean that. We love all of our listeners, and this is not a business for us. This is just what we love to do. And, yeah, it's great we get paid to do this, but in reality, we're not beholden to anyone, not a single corporation, only the listeners of this radio show. And as I just shared with Amber, we've got a brand-new book coming out in just a couple of weeks, but right now, if you would like a personalized autographed copy of Our Daily Biscuit, you can go to our website, click on the store button, and you'll be able to order copies. I will personally sign and personalize every single one. So we don't have somebody doing that. I do that personally. And my philosophy is, if you're going to take time to buy one of my books, and by golly, I'm going to take the time to autograph it and to say thank you. So we would love for you to go to todstarnes.com, click on the store, and get yourself a copy of our daily biscuit. By the way, you folks in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, the Todd Stern Show coming to your community very soon, so we're very excited about that. And Grace, I guess she's a fan of your of the morning show at KWAM.
I was gonna say it's not my show, but I appreciate the compliment.
Well, how about, don't tell Tim Van Horn that.
Not my show.
Yeah, he gets sensitive about it. He gets sensitive about that.
Well, he should. So. It's his show, but I'm honored to be a part of the show. I'm glad to hear that she was listening.
Don't tell this. Yeah, we shouldn't tell the audience, but you work like 18 hours a day here.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, you got to
barely see
upstairs.
The only extra time I have is to take care of my dog.
I know. I look in the commercial break. I ask Kyle, where's Grace? I asked she had to go let the dog out.
Yep.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
All right. Look, folks, we've got to take a quick break here. Some great guests coming up. Brad Dacus is going to be here. Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to drop by. And your calls, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us today. An honor to be broadcasting here at our Memphis headquarters, Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi River. And if you missed the first hour of the program, we want to say a huge thank you. The all-new 2021 Talkers Heavy 100 came out, and this radio program, number 44 in America, thanks to you good people. Also, just a heads up, we're going to be on the road doing our show from National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Dallas in just about a week and a half or so. Just got word, and this was just announced by CPAC, but it is official that yours truly will be delivering a speech at CPAC called it's Uncanceled, I believe, is the CPAC event title there in Dallas. And also, Young America's Foundation, we're going to be speaking at their gathering of high school students coming up in just a couple of weeks in Washington, D.C. Grace Baker, oh, whew, sweet mercy, I'm already ready for a nap.
You don't slow down in the summer. Some people, you know, cruise through the summer. You're going.
And we have a book coming out next week.
Yes. So. In fact, I think we just got a huge box of them in.
Well, that's my understanding. So we'll tell people more about that a little bit later on. All that to say, we're going to be busy. We're going to be on the road, but we're doing our show on the road, and we're going to have a great time doing it. Looking forward to seeing all of you folks down at CPAC in just a couple of weeks. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, there's a story out of Grants Pass, Oregon. You folks listening to us there in Salem, you know where this is. There is a big fight going on in the school district involving two educators who have been placed on administrative leave. And the reason why is that they have been voicing concerns concerning gender identity and the students. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, one of the most important legal voices in America, Brad Dacus, the founder of Pacific Justice Institute. They're doing some incredible work all over America defending religious liberty. Brad, it is good to have you back with us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Todd. I really appreciate the work you do and all the many people that watch and listen to your program. It's a big blessing.
Brad, you guys are all over these kinds of stories, and I'm so thankful for that because we need people like you out there. I want you to tell us what's happening in the school district in Grants Pass.
Oh, certainly. Two public educators from a middle school there in Grants Pass School District, Rachel Damiano and Katie Medart, they decided that they wanted to express their concerns about the new far leftist policies taking place. So they have a website. It's called iResolve, and they have some videos on there, including themselves, expressing their concerns of the policies taking place. They don't identify themselves as teachers. They don't say what school they work for. So it's in their total private capacity. Well, someone, you know, just discovered it, reported it to the administration of the school district, and they are on leave pending an investigation. And it's, you know, it's just, it's shocking. And so we at Pacific Justice Institute were contacted by them, and we have filed a lawsuit in court for them on their behalf. It's just a very important First Amendment issue on free speech and the ability for people who work for the government to have free speech like everyone else.
I'm kind of stumped here, Brad. I mean, what exactly are they under investigation for?
Yeah, I know. They're not really enunciating much, but they are being very critically examined for their express policies that on their own private website, iResolve, you know, suggesting that the school have a policy that has boys going in boys' restrooms and boys' locker rooms and girls in girls' restrooms and girls' locker rooms based on not who they say they are but who they anatomically are. That's one thing they advocate. And of course, the other is for teachers not to have to violate their conscience in the classroom by using a pronoun that they know is a lie and is potentially harmful to the child. So that's what they're advocating on their own private website. Well, because they're advocating things that are going against the far leftist establishment and the teachers union push, they're because of their viewpoint. That's why they are being investigated to potentially be fired and removed from public schools. This is, of course, very, very dangerous, and we at Pacific Justice are standing behind them. We have over 50 cases in active litigation right now across the country with offices all across the country. And we just take every single one of these very, very seriously because it's our civil liberties we're talking about protecting.
They're hugely important, and that's a good point that you guys, even though a Pacific Justice Institute, it's not just on the West Coast, you guys are all over the place. And, you know, Brad, I was just thinking, I'm hearing about these teachers. Just a few days ago, we were talking about Tanner Cross, who's the elementary school gym teacher in Loudoun County, Virginia, who did the same. You know, he went before the school board as a citizen and as a teacher and expressed his concern about the same issue. Of course, he was put on leave, but fortunately, a judge intervened and said, no, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And so, he's back or at least heading back to the classroom. You guys have to feel somewhat hopeful, maybe, that the same thing could happen here?
Yeah, it's definitely an asset because federal courts are required by law to give consideration to what other courts have decided on similar issues. They're not bound by it, but they're required to give consideration in their deliberations. So that's a definite positive. But the interesting thing is, once again, we're not talking about what a teacher is saying in a classroom to advocate in a classroom. We're talking about a teacher in their capacity as a private citizen outside the classroom on their own private website expressing their opinion and of their values and their concerns and their convictions. It is so important that when someone works for the government in any form, schools or otherwise, that they not do so with the fear of losing their First Amendment rights under the Constitution for free speech or the free exercise of religion or any of their constitutionally protected rights. We're talking about speech outside the classroom. We see teachers all the time abridge the trust of parents inside the classroom. We're just talking about, you know, teachers outside the classroom being able to have that opportunity, and we'll stand by that.
Brad, this sounds to me like the teachers union, maybe these the activist community is saying, if you are a school teacher, you will endorse this particular lifestyle, you will endorse this behavior, and if you don't endorse it, you've got to keep your mouth shut or you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. They're saying there's only one viewpoint and perspective under the state. And that may be totally fine and expected for communist China or Castro's Cuba or Venezuela, but not for the United States, not if our Constitution is to mean anything at the end of the day. Fortunately, Todd, we know that we have a fantastic majority on the Supreme Court, not a total unanimous but a majority, and we're very optimistic that at the end of the day, these kinds of cases are going to come out in a way that vindicates our First Amendment rights under the Constitution and the rights that we that people like these two teachers still have.
All right. Well, Brad, we appreciate you bringing this story to our attention, and I want you to keep us updated. You know, any developments, our audience is going to want to know about that. And, of course, we look forward to seeing you, I guess, later this year for the big Pacific Justice Institute gala. And I'm telling you, Brad, you guys, I mean, hit it out of the ballpark every year.
Oh, thank you. We have Jesse Waters along with you speaking at our gala, and I'm really excited about that. It's going to be in Irvine, Orange County, California, on October the 9th. It's going to be a fantastic event. We also have some great resources coming out in the interim, Todd. In fact, we're about to release an assessment of people's rights to say no to a mandatory vaccine, whether it's schools, colleges, workplace. Very empowering research document, Q&A document. And if anyone wants a copy of that or press releases, they can just sign up for it for our Legal Insider on our website, pji.org. If they want to be empowered, they should go to pji.org.
All right, good stuff. And, of course, folks, we have a direct link to Pacific Justice Institute on our live show blog. If you've got the blog up and running, go check that out and get involved. And Pacific Justice Institute, one of the top law firms in America handling these kinds of cases. Brad, I hear you're going to be at NRB as well. We've got to have you live. We're going to be doing the show down there. We got to get you live on the show.
Oh, I would love it. And I'm also going to be speaking on a panel there on religious freedom in America.
Excellent.
So I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, I'm looking forward to hearing you as well. And I always appreciate your insight into the struggles that we're having on with regards to social media and the internet platforms. It's a huge challenge, and I'm so glad they're having you address that. I know it's going to be real enriching for everyone attending.
Well, we're fighting the good fight, and you are too. Brad, we got to leave it there. They're yelling at me to take a break here.
Okay.
God bless you, sir. We'll see you in a couple of weeks in Texas. That, ladies and gentlemen, Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. Can you believe that story? You got two teachers, two educators. They're out there. They're not out there making fun of transgender people. They're not out there making fun of gay people. They're trying to implement some very reasonable and implement some reasonable policies in the classroom to protect all students. And because they want to have bathrooms that say anatomical bathroom for girls and anatomical bathroom for boys, they're now being investigated and they've been pushed out of their jobs. That's not right, but this is what's happening. And I'm telling you, folks, the teachers are they're caught in the middle of this culture war that's happening in our public school classrooms. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, where's Grace Baker? Grace Baker! Hello.
Hi, I'm right here.
Hello,
as
Grace.
I always am.
I am perplexed by something. You sent me an item this morning from the Memphis Zoo, which, by the way, is really one of the top zoos in America.
Yes, it's
unbelievable.
Ranked.
It's an incredible zoo.
Yes.
So
they're
having something called a Pride Day at the zoo.
Yes.
Which I thought was, you know, for like the Lion King, because they call that, you know, the
Pride Rock.
Right. Exactly. The Pride.
King.
Yes.
Yep. No,
but
not that kind of pride.
So they're celebrating gay pride at the zoo.
Yes.
Do we know what that's all about?
I don't really know what this entails, but I assume you saw the graphic.
Entails. Oh, I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. But I assume you saw the graphic that I included.
So there's the elephants in this graphic.
Sure.
There's bears. There's like a
no
giraffe.
Boas.
No, but there are penguins.
Oh, it's the penguins
and
that are the stars.
This is the where I'm confused. So the penguin is waving the gay pride flag.
Yep.
which leads me to believe that the penguin is a homosexual.
That's or what it sounds like.
Could be a lesbian, but I don't know. But is a member of the penguin, therefore, is a member of the LGBT community. Now, you laugh at me all the time. You get on to me because I ask you, have you inquired about Merlot the dog's sexual orientation?
Yes, and I still laugh at you for that.
Right, exactly. But the reality is somehow somebody was able to observe the behavior of this penguin and determine that they are a member of the LGBT community. And by they, I don't mean singular they. It's just
what
that is grammatically correct.
What if they made this penguin hold the flag against their will? What if they just had no idea what they were doing?
More importantly, how is it that the penguin can hold the gay pride flag because they don't have opposable thumbs?
You should be asking.
How did they do that?
A little tricky.
It's a little tricky. That's all I'm saying.
Ugh.
So anyway.
There's a lot of monkeying around going on. I don't know.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have said that. I'm just saying there's something weird going down at the zoo. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, I'm not repeating myself.
No, I don't want you to because I'll end up getting the messages. I'll get the hate mail.
That Grace.
Oh, by the way, Joe Biden, Grace, you're going to love this story. And where's Avery? Avery! You're going to love this story.
Man, over I just keep shouting.
I know. You know why? I've had like 3 cups of coffee.
Oh, that's it. No wonder.
I was just about to say it was probably the community coffee.
I'm going to tell y'all what it is. I probably shouldn't do this. This is going to endanger my street cred among the listeners. So the doctors put me on a mandatory like diet. And he says, Todd, you got to get in shape here, pal. And I said, well, it took me years to get into this shape. I said, I don't want another shape. He said, no, you got to slim down.
A different shape.
So for the past 3 weeks, I have foregone red meat in the diet. So I'm a little jumpy. And then today I had for lunch, I shouldn't even say this.
Just do it. I can't do this.
I don't want to. It's going to disappoint Avery. And I don't want to disappoint Avery.
Oh, I think I know what you had.
He looks up to me. It's a mentor thing.
I think the.
Yes.
The animals at the zoo would approve of it.
I'm just going to say it. I had a vegetarian sandwich.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
It's terrible.
All right.
It's sad.
Wow.
And it tasted like vegetables.
I've conflicted.
Really?
Yeah, there was no way around it. Avery, I'm sorry.
You smother it in ranch.
Oh, I had mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I had mayonnaise.
Did not.
Oh, no.
Can you
put that so
hot
sad?
Sauce
like you see
and
this
my
big
Louisiana
sandwich.
Hot sauce?
Because that place, the place you got your sandwich from, has great like Philly cheesesteaks.
Stop! Stop!
You look at the sandwich and it's just like so yummy. And you take a bite and you're like, it's rabbit food.
So so they wrap the thing. So I unwrap the vegetarian sandwich and there's all this lettuce and like cucumbers and it's wrapped in a Philly cheesesteak wrapper. I mean, it was just...
That's just mean.
It's mean.
That's really mean.
Someone was projecting.
Jeez.
So all that to say, guys, I'm a little on edge. You know, just a little
today.
On edge. I'm working on it. All right. So anyway, guys, this story out of Washington, D.C., Joe Biden releasing the big budget, how we're going to spend all of our tax dollars. And we've got this story. Caleb Park wrote this story up on ToddStearns.com. So they do not refer to mothers as birth mothers. They've eliminated that phrase. So now they're using the phrase birthing people in the official budget of the United States.
This again? Wonderful.
Yeah, they're talking about the maternal mortality rate among birthing people.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the actual language. And so we have this up on the website. As I pointed out, President Biden doesn't know anything about birth and babies.
He does not.
Just want to throw
better
that out
there. Better not.
Can we all agree here on the Todd Stearns Radio program that only women, biological women, can give birth?
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed.
Yes.
All right, good. I just want to make sure
we're all on the same page.
All right, very good. Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's official in the budget. President Biden now referring to mothers, expectant mothers, as birthing people. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is the website. I've already gotten one text message. No, I'm not eating tofu. I draw the line at kale and tofu. That's it. All right, got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So, as we mentioned briefly before going to break, the Biden budget has gone woke. Now, there are some people in America who actually believe that men can give birth to babies. Yes, I know how silly that might sound, but there are some men in America who are invoking their inner Arnold Schwarzenegger and popping out babies. Grace clearly has not seen the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he had a baby.
No, I have not.
It was one of the most traumatic and troubling events in all of American cinematic history.
Oh, I imagine.
Yes, indeed.
I don't really want to see that.
Google it.
You know why.
Yeah, Google it. Here we go. This is just a few moments ago. Let me set this up for you. So Biden, in the in his budget, he references not birthing mothers, but birthing people. And the reason why they did this is to be accommodating for the transgender community. And so there was a hearing up on Capitol Hill with the OMB. And the acting director of the OMB was asked a question by Congressman Jason Smith. Take a listen.
Go to another issue. The budget requests $26 million to reduce maternal mortality and eliminate race-based disparities in outcomes among, quote, birthing people. This is a shift from recent budgets, which referred to maternal health issues as women's issues. I've never heard the term before. Can you explain what it means?
Absolutely. There are certain people who do not have gender identities that apply to female or male. So we think our language needs to be more inclusive in how we deal with complex issues. I think the underlying issue is most important that your colleagues, Lauren Underwood and others, are working on, is to try to ensure that those of color who are giving birth leave the hospital alive. And that's the issue rather than the verbiage. The verbiage matters, but the underlying issue is extremely important. And a lot of your colleagues are working hard on this because all of those giving birth should have access to the same quality health care.
So is the administration's official policy to replace the term woman with birthing people?
I think our official policy is to make sure when people get service from their government that they feel included, and we're trying to use inclusive language.
Okay, interesting.
Very interesting, Congressman. But there you heard it for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. This is not Todd Stearns speaking out the wazoo, but this is the reality of where we are in America. There is an actual war on women being waged, and it's being waged by the LGBT community, along with the Biden administration. The Biden administration wants you to now believe that men can give birth to babies, that there's really no such thing as a woman anymore. These are the same people who believe that there's no difference between male and female. These are the same people that want to put grown men, big, burly, hairy men into the same locker rooms and bathrooms and changing rooms with your little girls. These are the same people. These are the same people who want to let those same big, hairy, burly men compete on the same teams against your daughters. This is who they are. I don't know how any woman could possibly, a biological woman with a thinking brain, I don't see how you could possibly support a political party that wants to oppress you and put you down, because that's exactly what this does. Did you ever think in American history, in world history, that you would come to a point where you had government officials saying that there's really no such thing as a male or a female? Did you ever think that would happen? Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen, it's happening. Now, I got a note the other day from a new listener. They weren't very happy with me. And this listener was especially upset because he said that I spoke too much about religion on my talk program. I shouldn't be talking about religion on my talk radio program. And every now and again, I'll get an email or a message from somebody asking me about that question. Todd, why do you talk about issues of faith? Those things don't belong on the radio. Rush never talked about those things. Oh, yes, Rush did. But I want to explain why we insert faith into what we do here on this program. There was something in this country, something in this world at one time called absolute truth. And that was our marker, all right? It didn't matter where we were going through as a country, what we were going through as a country. It didn't matter where we were in society. There was truth and there was lies, all right? Truth and lies. We knew what the truth was. Now, that marker for truth, establishing absolute truth, can be traced all the way back to the Holy Bible. And when you want to know what's happening with America right now, the left has been very successful at removing that marker. The marker's been moved. We know this. Oprah Winfrey, several years ago, did a big interview where she talked about her truth, how everybody has their own version of the truth. But the problem is, and again, let's just go with that for a second. Let's say Grace has her version of the truth and Avery has his version of the truth. Now, the question is, what happens when Grace's truth conflicts with Avery's truth? Whose truth at that point takes precedent? Because, again, the left says, well, everybody's got their own truth. I'll tell you what happens. Chaos happens. And that's what's happening right now in American society. At its heart, this is not a budget issue. Birthing parent, that's not a budget issue or a government issue. This is a moral issue. This is a religious issue. It was President John Adams who said this, that our way of government, our Constitution, is wholly inadequate for any other people except for a moral and religious people. So, when you take God out of the equation, when you take God out of the public marketplace, it all falls apart. Again, you have chaos. So if we're really going to talk about these issues in a very genuine and earnest way, and we do have a lot of fun on this program, but if we're going to have an honest conversation, we've got to talk about religion. Now, I'm not here to preach at you. I'm not here to proselytize. This is not the Billy Graham show. This is a Todd Stern show. And I have an obligation to explain to you and to share with you the reason we are in the condition we are in. There are a lot of talk radio hosts out there, conservative talk radio hosts. And you know what they're doing at this very moment? They're telling you that the only salvation for this country is one man, and it's not Jesus Christ. They'll be out there saying the only way to save this country is through the Republican Party. Now, I will contend that my values do line up more or less with the Republican platform. But you see, my hope is not in the political parties because they have failed us and they will more than likely fail us again. But that's not the issue. It's not a political issue. What's facing America right now is a spiritual crisis. And when you take the Catholics out of the public marketplace and the Southern Baptist, and by the way, that's a war zone right now. I'm telling you, the politicians in Washington are acting more like Christians than some of these leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention. It's ugly, ugly. But when you take all of that out of the public marketplace, you get chaos. So what do we need to do? How do we fix all of this? It's very simple. We get back to the marker. What is absolute truth? And once we establish that, we're all going to come to the same conclusion that men cannot give birth to babies. But right now, it's chaos. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Agree, disagree, give us a call. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go right to the phones. Gainesville, Georgia. Lisa, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Lisa, what's on your mind? Hello, Lisa. All right, we do not have Lisa. All right, let's continue on then. All right, let's get that worked out and see if we can't establish some sort of contact with Lisa. But again, going back to this budget, folks, not much of a big surprise. And by the way, they're doing this during Pride Month. So this is all intentional, and this is all about advancing that almighty LGBT agenda. By the way, there is a brand new survey out, regarding the LGBT community. And apparently, more Americans are now identifying as LGBT. This is from NBC News. Nearly one in five young adults say they're not straight. This is the result of a global survey. The survey, conducted in 27 countries, found that 4% of those in Generation Z identify as transgender, non-binary, gender non-conforming, or gender fluid. Julie Moreau is the writer of the story. She said the results are based on a survey of more than 19,000 people in 27 countries ages 16 to 18. So this is Generation Z. These are people born after 1997. Nearly four times as likely than those over the age of 40 to identify as transgender, non-binary, gender non-conforming, gender fluid, or in another way. They were also the age group most likely to identify as something other than heterosexual. Overall, 9% of respondents identified as lesbian, gay, bisexual, pansexual, omnisexual, or asexual. That figure doubles to 18%. So what does that mean? Well, it means that your kids are being confused about who they are by your public school system. That's what this is all about. Some people might say, oh, this is part of evolution. So we're reaching a point in American history where more people, a majority of Americans, will now identify as LGBTQI or A. Maybe that's what's happening here. This is some sort of an evolutionary process. Now, I don't think that's it. I just think they're trying to confuse the kids. That's what I think is happening. I mean, you've got really perverted moms and dads that are hauling out their five-year-olds to the drag queen shows. You've got moms and dads out there that are convincing their seven- and eight-year-olds that there's something wrong with them. I mean, it's ludicrous. Just absolutely ludicrous what's happening. But there you go. So what does this mean? That means you've got a really, really, really messed up society out there, America. That's what's really going on here. So look, I want to get into Kamala Harris, and we're going to do that a little bit during the next hour of the program. By the way, Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to drop by. I'm telling you, a lot of parents around this country are getting fed up, and they've had it. And they're starting to fight back over these schools that are out there causing all of this chaos in society. And I've been telling you for a long time now, folks, you want to fix this country? Fix your public schools. If you can do that, if you can fix your public schools, you're going to fix what's wrong with this country. But moms and dads, you've got to get involved. You've got to get involved in your kids' education. So I'm going to play some audio for you. We have an update to a story we told you about yesterday involving Mara Gay. She is an MSDNC host. She is also a New York Times editorial board member. And here's what she had to say yesterday about the American flag. Cut number three.
I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, yep. Trump yep. flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your yep. country. I own this. And so until we're ready to have that conversation, this is going to continue.
So that was Mara Gay yesterday. And she was basically, this was another version of the, you know, conservatives are bitter clingers. They cling to their guns. They cling to their religion. The American flag is a symbol of whiteness in America. Just your typical far left rigmarole. So that was yesterday. So now we have a statement from the New York Times about Mara Gay. And they're saying, how dare you? How dare you criticize Mara Gay because she did nothing wrong? Now, many people would say, I mean, you just heard it yourself. She said that she was triggered. She was deeply disturbed by the American flag. Now, the New York Times released a statement, and they said that her comments have been irresponsibly taken out of context. I sincerely disagree with that. Now, I'm a student of understanding quotes, and it's very clear to me that Ms. Gay said exactly what she said. It's not like we wrote that down. We transcribed what we played it for you so you could hear it for yourself. But the New York Times wants you to believe that you did not hear what you just heard. And they say, how dare anyone? How dare anyone take this woman out of context? The New York Times goes on to say her argument was that Trump and many of his supporters have politicized the American flag. Well, that's not true. And that's not what she said, by the way. That is not what she said. The attacks on her today are ill-informed and grounded in bad faith. That's according to the New York Times communications Twitter handle. Mara Gay says, I'm being trolled with the American flag this morning. Trolling a black journalist with the American flag is not the own some people think it is. Oh, so she's making about race. That's what this is all about. She's making it about race. They're attacking me because I'm a black woman. No, they're attacking you because you're a jerk face, ma'am. They're attacking you because you made it about race. She's out there. Do you understand now how these people operate? They're out there saying, oh, the American flag is an evil symbol. It's a symbol of whiteness. And when you respond, when you retort, all of a sudden, you become the bad guy. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. ToddStearns.com is the website. Senator Marsha Blackburn coming up next. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I have some distressing news for you. Apple pie lovers. Avery, do you like the apple pie? Are you a big fan of apple pie?
Unfortunately, I'm not.
You don't like apple pie. What's wrong with you?
What kind of blasphemy is this? Are you from the South?
I've tried so many times to like it because I heard and felt this scorn before.
Do you like baseball?
I've tried.
Do you like baseball, Avery?
I do like baseball.
Yeah. All right, so you like baseball.
Okay, I don't care for baseball.
Do you love your mother?
Oh, dang.
Of course.
She's probably listening right
no,
now.
No, I'm asking because, you know, mom, apple pie, and baseball. I mean, you know, if you don't have all three of those in the equation.
What about mom, football, and apple pie?
No, that doesn't count.
Oh.
That doesn't count. So there's some British guy, and he's written this big essay about how apple pie is racist. His name is Raj Patel is the guy's name. And he wrote an article about food injustice in The Guardian. And his basic premise is this. Apple trees are not native to America. And so he says, as a result of that, that it's symbolic of the Europeans coming over and invading America and displacing the indigenous people. So he says there, and then he said Johnny Appleseed is representative of the westward expansion of the United States. And then he said the sugar that you put in the pie crust is racist because it was harvested by slaves in the Louisiana sugarcane fields. And so he says, therefore, apple pie is racist. I feel bad for the guy because wait until he finds out that most Americans also like a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of the apple pie. That's like a double dose of racism, I suppose. That being said, why would anyone listen to the British when it comes to food? I'm just saying. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. You know, we've been talking a lot about critical race theory over the past week or so, and also the attacks on free speech. And our good friend Senator Marsha Blackburn has been at the forefront of both fights. Senator, good to have you back with us.
It is good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about this critical race theory. Earlier in the show, we had a teacher at a prep school in New Jersey. She wrote this incredible resignation letter talking about how they are harming children by teaching them critical race theory and teaching that we should group people together as opposed to promoting individualism.
One of the things that has been so fascinating with me as this 1619 project came into being, Todd, you know, so many of us said, this is ridiculous. And trying to rewrite our nation's history. And then, of course, through the course of the 2020 elections, this started to pick up steam with the leftists who felt like they had an opening with Joe Biden and felt that they could begin to push some of these theories that are based in Marxism, that are leftist in nature. And so you saw some of this gain momentum. Now, to me, the sad thing about critical race theory is that it teaches children to judge first by the color of someone's skin and not to focus on their character, not to focus on values, not to focus on those individual strengths and gifts that God has given each and every individual, and not to recognize that there is a uniqueness to every single individual. So I oppose this teaching of critical race theory, and I represent the great state of Tennessee, and Tennessee has passed a law that will prohibit the teaching of critical race theory in our public school classrooms.
Well, this is so important, Senator. My concern is, you know, long term, you've got kids that are going through a public education system and they're being told to hate the color of their skin and that they're responsible for other people's problems. You do that for 18 years. I really shudder to think what this country is going to look like when these kids graduate.
And I shudder to think how they would choose to have friends. I like diversity, and I am grateful that I have a wide and diverse range and group of friends, and I can call on them. They can call on me. And I am so grateful for that in my life. I always taught my children growing up that you want to have a wide circle of friends, a diverse circle of friends. And I would hope that all children would realize that there is just such a joy that comes from that, appreciating people for who they are, not looking at their skin or their country of origin and deciding if you do or do not like a person based on that.
Senator, you've also been focusing on free speech, and you're introducing legislation along with several other Republican senators, including Cindy Hyde-Smith in Mississippi, Tom Tillis, North Carolina, and others, recognize the importance of freedom of speech and thought and expression. Why do you feel it was necessary to introduce this legislation?
Well, it's important to have that resolution to recognize the importance of free speech, because every single day, what do we see happening? Censorship. You go online, Big Tech is censoring you. You speak up in the media. You have the left that wants to chop your head off if you're a conservative. And what we're saying is, look, we have to learn to respect that our nation has been, and our freedom has been so protected by having robust, respectful, bipartisan debate, that we should learn how to agreeably disagree, that we should respect one another's opinions. Our children should be going to college and learning how to debate a point and a counterpoint, and appreciating that we are not all one and the same. We're going to have different approaches. We're going to have different feelings. We're going to have different viewpoints. We are going to have different standards. But you know what? It is important that we express those.
Senator Marsha Blackburn on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Senator Kamala Harris down in Guatemala and Mexico. And even the White House, according to CNN's reporting, people inside the White House say they are perplexed by whatever that was. And I thought you really summed up everything succinctly when you said she was delusional.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable to go down to Guatemala and stand there and say, our border is closed. Do not come here. When people are running, not figuratively, but actually running across our border, raising their hands, saying asylum, and asking to be caught by the Border Patrol. That is what is happening at our southern border. And Todd, our local law enforcement, our governors, our electeds at the state and local level in those counties along the southern border, they're having to take matters into their own hands and deal with these situations, because the federal government will not defend our nation's sovereignty and protect our southern border.
Well, Senator, I'm just glad we have Republicans like you up on Capitol Hill. You're fighting the good fight. You're saying what needs to be said. And we really appreciate that, not just here in Tennessee, but all over America.
Thanks so much. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
All right. Senator Marsha Blackburn, ladies and gentlemen, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. I'm going to get back to apple pie in just a minute, but we have some breaking news. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I just love moments like this. You know what? Do we have any Barry? No, I want Barry White baby making love music, but it's really not appropriate for this story. So hold off on that, Kyle.
It's just another, yes, I'm going to get to it. Hang tight there. Grace, is Todd stroking out? No, I'm not stroking out. But once again, the mainstream media, the Democrats have been proven wrong about Donald John Trump. And Grace, this is going to be a great story. I want to get your reaction as I'm reading this
to you.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Baker,
I'm ready.
Because this is a big deal. Here's the headline from the NBC News. Or as Howard Stern would say, WNBC. It turns out police did not clear D.C.'s Lafayette Park of protesters so Trump could hold a photo op.
Oh.
So what have they been saying?
Saw that coming.
All along. Even little Lizzie Cheney, the daughter of Dick, all of that crowd, the Never Trumpers, that Trump ordered the police to go in and clear the park so he could wave the Bible in front of the church.
By any means necessary, basically.
And guys, why was Trump there? Why was he waving the Bible in front of the church? Why was that St. John's Church, the Church of the Presidents? Why was that? I'll tell you why, Grace Baker. It was because the Black Lives Matter thugs tried to burn down the church.
Yep, I remember that.
Causing millions of dollars in damage, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Millions.
Of course.
But the mainstream media, they don't care.
No, they don't care about that part.
Not at all.
That was a white person's church, so it's okay to burn that church down. Burn, baby, burn. I'm just telling you, that's what they were thinking. So this is from Ken DeLilium from NBC News. When federal police officers violently cleared protesters from this is the fair and balanced story, by
love
the way.
Love it.
When federal police officers violently cleared protesters from the city's Lafayette Park in June, they did it so a contractor could install fencing, not to let President Trump have a photo op at a nearby church. This is according to an investigation by the Interior Department's Inspector General.
The taxpayer dollars at work.
Here's the money bite, kids. That finding, published Wednesday, is likely to surprise many critics of Trump, who have long asserted that the president or his attorney general ordered the operation to pave the way for an act of political theater. That is also the central allegation of a federal lawsuit filed by Black Lives Matter against the Justice Department.
Oh.
Well, so much for that lawsuit. You know what? Trump ought to sue the hell out of all of them. That's what he ought to do.
Why not?
I don't know about you folks. The level of deception from the mainstream media against Donald Trump.
It's insane.
It's offensive. And it ought to be criminal.
Yep.
Yeah.
And again, nobody seems to be bothered by the fact that they tried to burn down a church. Nobody seems to care.
Nope.
Todd, because it was a white church, that's okay. They deserve it. That church is privileged.
Dang.
I'm just telling you, that's what they say.
Or they're thinking it.
Well, you know they're thinking it. All right. So the president once again exonerated the Russia collusion hoax. Where do you go, folks? Nobody's going to apologize. Not a single one. Unbelievable. They're still trying to prove the guy used the N-word. But we know who used the N-word, don't we, Hunter? Pass the Parmesan cheese. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Grace Baker, I'm curious, having the lovely Merlot in the home, do you get those? I know she's a young little puppy dog now, but are you starting to get the little puppy odors that come along with being a puppy?
Yes, she started shedding, I've noticed. I see her hairs on, like, my black clothes and
stuff.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Oh, dear. That's not
not buying any more black clothes, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
A little smell sometimes. She still occasionally has an accident. It happens.
It happens. It happens.
So, yeah.
Or maybe there's like other weird odors out there in your house. I don't know, like, you know, somebody smoking, I don't know, Parmesan cheese or something like that.
They smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
You know, it happens.
That'd be a problem.
It would be a problem. And that's a very unpleasant odor from what I understand. But fortunately, no matter what smell you might have in your house, we've got the solution for you. I know the air fresheners and the things you plug into the wall. Yeah, that's just temporary relief. But we've got something that will actually eliminate all of those nasty germs. It's from our good friends over at Eden Pure, and they have something called the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I use this thing, and it's pretty darn incredible. I have bad allergies, and so the air purifying system actually takes away all those molecules that cause you to sneeze, get the watery eyes. You know the drill. And so you got to get one of these things, folks. Absolutely incredible. Not only will it purify the air in your home, it completely eliminates the odors. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier, it's about the size of a Susan B. Anthony dollar. It's a little bit larger than this. It's about an Apple TV. Why did I say Susan B. Anthony dollar? What's going on with me today, Grace? I don't know. Having
it's
a rough
the Parmesan
day.
Parmesan cheese.
It could be. Or the fact that I had a vegetarian sandwich.
Oh, that's more likely.
I need red meat. Give me a burger. So it's about the size of a Apple TV device. So get yourself one of these great air purifiers, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I'm telling you, folks, I do use it in my home. If you've got a large home, get a couple. You'll need them for one, maybe one for the bedroom, one for, you know, the living room area, the kitchen. You can do that by going to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. And just use the code word Todd when you check out, and you're going to get some great discounts. They're going to give you $10 off the lowest price, and they're going to throw in some free shipping for you. That's the Thunderstorm Air Purifier, EdenPureDeals.com. Did I mention shipping's free? Oh, I did. Good. So back to this apple pie thing. Grace, I got a problem with these British. You know, for one thing, you know, we fought a war, okay? I get it that a lot of people here, they love the Queen, and they like all
it's
the pomp and the pageantry, and I get that. But you know what?
Place.
But man, they got horrible food over there, except for Gordon Ramsay.
Well, yeah, he's like the lone exception, I guess.
I went to his restaurant in Vegas, and it was actually really good. It had the fish and chips. And something with peas, like the green peas.
Ew, that doesn't sound good.
No, but they're delicious. But that's it. I mean, everybody else over there, they're eating kidney pie this, and, you know, they're eating, I don't know, bangers and whatever. They boil everything over there.
Yes, they do.
This is why they're so unpleasant. They don't understand the joy of deep frying.
I was about to say, you got to fry it up.
That's right. Get some tartar sauce and hush puppies. Mm-mm-mm. Then we can have a conversation. Mm-mm-mm. So anyway, I don't know. Apple pie, hey, if you don't like it, don't eat it. What can I say? Have an Oreo. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Some breaking news coming into the program. This from what used to be known as Lackland Air Force Base. Now it's called Joint Base San Antonio, Lackland. There is a report of an active shooter. The base is on lockdown. Now, the updated information we're getting is that there are two possible shooters that were off base firing onto the base. So we understand there were some trainees in the area. The shooters fled the scene on foot. I'm reading from now some of the local TV reports, television station KENS, that's Eyewitness News, And no word of any injuries, but the base is on lockdown right now. So nobody on, nobody off. And they are right now searching for whoever these shooters are. We understand the San Antonio Police Department has been called in to clear the area as well as look for these shooters. So a lot of very concerned family members, no doubt. But we understand, as far as we know, there are no suspected injuries at this time. Everybody's locked down. The troops there, the airmen, are in their barracks, and they are being protected. We understand in some cases have actually put, they barricaded themselves in, really as a matter of precaution. So we'll keep you updated if any other news updates come from that situation. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So there was an incident earlier today involving the president of these United States. The president was attacked just moments before boarding Air Force One for his trip across the Big Pond. No, it was not a human. It was a cicada. And apparently a lot of cicadas, because Grace, they said they had to delay the flight by, 7 hours?
Well, that region of the country is experiencing like an invasion of these certain kind of cicadas that come out of like hibernation like every 17 years. So,
and they're frisky.
Apparently,
they are very frisky. Loud. Somebody was one of the national news anchors was trying to eat a cicada on air, as in
ew.
As in eat the cicada.
I hate bugs.
And
I wouldn't have been getting on that plane.
Well, the medical expert. No. The medical experts say that if you have an allergy, if you're allergic to shellfish,
oh, yes.
You should not eat the cicada.
How about just don't eat cicadas in general?
How about if you're a human being?
Yeah,
I agree.
Right,
just, let little Merlot. I'm sure that would be a lovely snack for Merlot.
I don't even think I'd feed that to my dog.
Sort of like a milk bone.
Now, if she, if there's a fly in the house, I'm like, get it, girl, get it, because I can't always get them.
I'm sorry, what do you tell your dog?
Get her.
Get her. Get her.
Get that fly.
Get her. Get that fly.
Eat him.
Yee-hoo. Get that fly, Merlot.
She'll jump. She's like a little kangaroo. She's jumping.
Really? She likes the flies.
Yes.
I guess it's
The other day,
protein nuggets. Saw one.
I guess. They're fine. But anyway.
Jeez-a-loo.
How did these cicadas even get on the plane in the first place?
Well, they weren't on the plane. They were outside. They got sucked into the engines.
That makes sense.
So,
okay.
So Biden was actually out. He was not. He was on the tarmac. He wasn't in the plane.
Okay, that makes more sense.
That would have been entertaining. You see the president of the United States come running out. He's got a
huge swarm.
Yeah, this large, cicadas, large moth-like creature just latched to your face.
And they're like,
Biden says, the cicada got me and I got the cicada. It is what it is. So anyway, safe travels. Grace, if you remember, Sully Sullenberger, remember him? The airline pilot landed the plane on the Hudson River.
Yep.
And Fox decided when it was time for him to finish that flight, the airline, they were going to let him come back and he was going to fly to Charlotte.
Yes.
And Fox said, you've got to get down to the airport. So I get down to the airport. I was at LaGuardia. And it was freezing cold. And I remember typically when you're at the airport and you're not allowed inside, so you're having to stand outside. If you're doing radio, nobody cares what you look like.
No, of course
not.
So
I had like jeans, I had a hoodie on, and I was trying to stay warm. So anyway, I heard somebody behind me, a colleague, said, "Hey, they've got an extra seat on the flight if you want to go." So I didn't even bother calling the desk, the assignment desk. I ran in there, bought the plane ticket, and jumped on the plane. And so I got to fly on Sully Sullenberger's last flight.
Wow.
So here's what happened. Because you remember why the plane went down. They got hit by birds.
Yes.
Much like Air Force One with the cicadas.
With the cicadas.
So
what happened?
So we were getting ready to take off, and it was packed with dignitaries. I mean, everybody was there. And so we're taking off, and at the moment where the bird strike happened, and when you take off at LaGuardia, there's not a lot of wiggle room.
No.
I mean, they've literally built the runways out onto the bay.
Yeah.
So you're coming in really fast, and you're taking off really fast.
Oh, my gosh.
And so you shoot off like a rocket, and typically the flight path will take you over Harlem. So that's the northern part of the island. And then you you hang a left turn and go up the Hudson River, and you're off to wherever you're going to. So anyway, as soon as we got to the point where the bird strike happened, every single person on that airplane, every single one was looking out the window. Everybody, making sure there weren't any birds around.
So did you look out the window?
Oh, of course.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Got to do what you got to do. I mean, and not only that, I was in the back of the plane, so that, you know, we would have gone down first, you know, had we got hit again. But they were killing so many birds. They actually had riflemen out there the airport, knocking out the birds.
So it was like another version of Floppy Bird or Angry Birds or
it
whatever.
Yeah.
Those were some Angry Birds.
But anyway, it was a great trip. Got a picture with Captain Sully.
Well, nice.
Nice guy. But he's all dressed in his uniform. And here I am, some guy in the jeans and the sweatshirt, you know. And
you got to do what you got to do.
And so then we get to Charlotte. And then I thought, oh, crap, I've got to get back home. So
yeah, that's kind of important.
Had to book another flight. Don't like that airport.
It was worth it, though.
Don't like that airport in Charlotte.
So what, we went from cicadas to flies?
Well, yes, because the reason why it was 7 hours delayed, they didn't want to pull a Sully Sullenberger on Air Force One. So they wanted to make sure, you know, that the bugs didn't do anything.
But they got
the
bugs out.
Got the bugs out. Biden's okay.
They did it.
All is well with the world. I'm just telling you. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks. Hey, don't forget, if you haven't already done so, get your autographed copy of my brand new book. I'm going to be signing for hours, for days. We've already got a couple of hundred pre-orders already, and I suspect we're going to have a couple of thousand by the time it's all said and done. But we would love to be able to personally autograph a copy of my new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. It's got some great endorsements, Governor Mike Huckabee, Franklin Graham, among others. And you're going to love this. You say, well, how can I get this? Very simple. Go to ToddStearns.com and go to the store tab, and you'll be able to order your book. And we're going to be doing a big book signing, book tour. We're going to be busy from here through the fall. All right. Big Trouble in Music City, USA. What did I say to Governor Mike Huckabee just, what was it, yesterday on this program?
I think so.
There was somebody about Nashville.
Oh,
it was the speaker, the Tennessee
Cameron
House
Sexton.
Speaker. And I told him, I said, you know, I was very polite about it, but since he's not here, I'll just say it. You know, Nashville sucks. You know, it's really
I've
sad.
I've never been a big fan of Nashville, even like a decade ago. Like, just never been a big fan.
It's all glitz and glamour and, you know, the Hollywood crowd.
I don't get why
invaded.
People love it so much.
Yeah, I never have understood it.
It's expensive.
It's expensive.
Crowded.
You can only eat so much hot chicken.
I was going to say, the food's okay.
Yeah, the barbecue's horrible.
Now, Franklin, Tennessee? I like Franklin.
So, CMT, Country Music Television, is causing all sorts of controversy.
Oh, boy.
Because, and I am very surprised by this, very surprised, but this, again, goes to show you how woke country music has become. CMT is now supporting gun control. So, that's going to eliminate about, what, 80%
yeah,
of all country music songs?
Yeah. And their audience.
Mm. Well, if they decide to declare war on trailer parks, well, you may as well sing pop music.
Gosh.
Viewers of country music television, known as CMT, are slamming the company, promising to boycott the upcoming awards show after it urged viewers to wear orange for a gun control campaign. All right, you're sitting in the privacy of your home wearing an orange vest? That's like wearing a face
mask.
And that
makes some kind of an impact in some way.
CMT says, we're virtually wearing orange today.
Virtually.
Hey, CMT, guess what I'm virtually doing?
Not watching your award show.
CMT says they're calling, they want them to support National Gun Violence Awareness Day and to call attention to the more than 100 lives that are lost every day to gun violence. Hashtag Wear Orange and visit wearorange.org for more. That's what they tweeted, CMT.
This is just a dumb move. This is just a dumb move by them.
To spread the message, Wear Orange has partnered with left-wing groups like Planned Parenthood and the Democratic Attorneys General Association. The tweet sparked outrage among country music fans. This is from the Los Angeles Times. A survey of the first 100 direct responses on the channel's page showed an overwhelming majority unhappy with the message.
What a surprise.
No kidding. I wonder what Phil Robertson would have to say about that.
Oh, 95%
of the 100 responders on their website were not in favor of CNT's Wear Orange message. The others were Dixie Chick fans and that Lady A-hole band.
Yes.
You know, they were supposed to, I think Lady A-hole was at the K-Love Music Fan Awards.
Oh.
But I didn't get to see him on the, I'm kind of glad because I was going to call him out.
Ooh.
I'm like, dude, what's up? Changing your name? What's wrong with you people? You're Lady Antebellum. But now they go by what? Lady A. And Lady they A. actually stole that name from an actual black performer named Lady A.
That. That's how ironic.
Real woke white country singers. Real woke.
Give me a break.
Fans slammed CMT for pushing the Wear Orange campaign, accusing them of missing key context on gun violence and threatening to boycott the awards hosted by Kane Brown and Kelsey with a K, Ballerini.
Yes, I know who they are.
Oh, Kane is spelled K, too. K-A-N-E.
Oh.
These millennial names.
I tell you. Gonna watch them.
One commenter said, this is CMT trying to attract listeners they don't have at risk of alienating the listeners they do have. How'd that work out for the Dixie Chicks? Oh, that's a good point. Hey, guys, I remember when I was doing a radio show and the Dixie Chicks went woke.
Oh.
And we actually took all their CDs and put them in the parking lot. And we had a Ford F-150 run over them on live radio.
Oh, my gosh.
It made a great crunching sound.
I was about to ask.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Yeah. Another wrote, well, looks like CMT is off the channel selection for my TVs. Good luck catering country songs to the woke, and may your profits be null.
Do they not understand that most of their audience is freedom-loving Americans who practice their Second Amendment rights?
You know, I remember in Culture Jihad, I wrote an entire chapter about the country music industry, and it was really one of my favorite.
I've never been a fan.
Of my books?
No, of the country music.
Oh, country music. I'm sorry.
There we go.
What's going on?
You were just saying you wrote that a while ago, and I'm saying, you know, I've never cared for country music.
But there was a big story involving CMT, the CMT Foundation, and their only job is to give poor boys and girls guitars and pianos and piccolos or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That's what they do. And so Mike Huckabee was named to the board of directors. And the head of CMT, the foundation, is some gay married dude. So the two dudes and they got a kid. And the guy hated Mike Huckabee. And he wrote this letter to the country music industry saying that they didn't want people like Mike Huckabee associating with country music. I'm like, what, your entire base?
He's like the nicest guy ever.
Your entire fan base? And so Huckabee, I mean, they really, it was a huge scandal. There was this great uproar. And, I mean, Huckabee had spent most of his career raising thousands of dollars to buy musical instruments for poor kids. And yet the gay dude in charge of the CMT Foundation said people like Governor Huckabee were no longer welcome in the country music world. So that's Governor harsh. Huckabee stepped aside. He resigned. He didn't want to cause a big stink.
Man.
I would have caused a stink. And you know what? That's a stink that not even the Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier could have gotten rid
of. Not the mozzarella cheese kind of a stink, huh?
No,
like
that would be Parmesan cheese, too. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Parmesan cheese.
We smoked more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
It's true.
I'm sure he does, because I don't think anybody smokes that.
I wonder if anybody over at CNN, the most profane name in news, smoked Parmesan cheese.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you. That's a good point, Judge Joe Brown. I'm geez, sorry. What did Judge Joe Brown say again?
Crying Negro Network.
Hold on. CNN. Let's try it one more time. CNN. Okay.
Crying Negro Network.
What? Judge Joe Brown. The man. It is what character. It is. According to the Daily Wire's reporting, one commenter said, I no longer support CMT, good riddance, to another woke support group out of touch with their audience. Another said, I find it amusing. You think I give a damn what you think I should and should not do with tools I use to defend me and mine.
Dang.
It's a tough crowd. I just, again, country music needs to understand they're going down a very, very difficult path.
Let's just wait till those ratings come out tomorrow night. Or tonight. No, it's Wednesday. Comes on tonight. We will see.
It's just like there is like a segment, a demographic of contemporary Christian music, and they're out there renouncing their faith. Yeah, it's very similar to what's happening with country music now.
What do you mean?
Well, they're renouncing the foundation of what they do, their music, their profession. So, for example, the Christian art, you got some Christian artists out there that are saying they no longer believe in God, but they're still making a buck singing about God. And then you got country music, and they're singing about guns and trailer parks and kicking your dog and whatnot. And and you're, well, some of the old school Hank Jr. stuff,
okay.
Or senior stuff. And then you turn around and you've got CMT saying, well, we want to take away your guns.
Just a dumb move.
It is not a good move.
It is so. It's going to bite them in the rear end.
I wonder how many people are going to wear orange tonight.
Well, I guess we won't get to see. They'll be all sitting in their houses.
You know, it's the same people that wear the face masks, the double face masks in their cars, in their little Priuses. Gosh.
No one is near you, my friend.
Every single one of those people have a Joe Biden bumper sticker.
Imaginary friends, like when you're a kid.
Could be. I mean, many of these people, and I'm telling you, many of these people had such warped experiences in grade school, and now they're teaching our kids. They're getting payback. That's what that's all about. All right, folks, been a good show today. We got to get out of here. Don't forget ToddStearns.com. All sorts of great links to our stories, great new columns up, stories as well, videos. Check it all out. Get out there. Have a good day, America.